Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Michael Wald, and thank you so much for your fantastic feedback regarding the topic of my last show, The Dangers of Gluten, entitled Glutenaholic. And to remind those of you who listened before, to get a free copy of my online book, Glutenaholic, The Masquerader of Many Diseases and Health Problems, you can just get on my mailing list at www.blooddetective.com, or you can just email me at info@blooddetective.com, or you can call the office, and we can put you on the list at 914-242-8844. So this is Ask the Blood Detective, and I have been nicknamed the Blood Detective because I tend to find health problems where some of my very intelligent colleagues may not, and I think the reason is I hold this Blood Detective label as a badge of honor. I will not stop until I find answers for people, and for many people, it is gluten. And it's not as simple as merely eliminating gluten. Gluten is like a fire in a house. You can put the fire out, but the house will smell for months, years, or decades. You need to fix the walls. You can't just move back in. So think of the body that way. Gluten creates all this damage, and most gastroenterologists pay zero attention to it. They don't recognize it. All they have on their sleeves, with all due respect, is removal of gluten. So I want to direct you all to my last show. Please do listen to it. It's up on my blog on the website that I just gave. And we'll continue today with gluten. And depending on how far I get, this will either be the last show, but most likely there'll be one more show about gluten after this. And I have many videos on my website about gluten, short ones, so you can get through them, and a lot of written material. So the last question that I left you with was, and again, all of these questions you, the audience, have provided me, so this is what you want to know. How much is too much gluten? So, first of all, if someone has celiac disease, how much is easy? None. You cannot have any gluten. And some of you think you can tolerate gluten because you don't have symptoms that have celiac disease, meaning intestinal symptoms like diarrhea. But as I said on the last show, only 50% of those with celiac disease have diarrhea. The other 50% have symptoms everywhere else in the body. And remember, before you have symptoms, you don't. So a person... We all are exposed to toxins of different types in the environment and inside of our bodies. Our body makes toxins during the course of normal aging and disease and the dis-ease process. It creates havoc. It degenerates things. We may not feel it. The body compensates. But then one day, things may break down. So it's really important to know what is potentially a health issue. So how much gluten is too much gluten for a lot of other people? Well, some studies have shown that 10 milligrams or less, a very small amounts of gluten is usually tolerated by most of those with celiac disease. Some people with celiac disease, which for those of you who do not know, is a genetic intolerance of gluten, the only cure for which is lifelong elimination of gluten. But that doesn't necessarily cure, as I just said, all the other problems in other organs, like the osteoporosis or the migraines or the cancer or the neurologic atrophy or pain syndromes that gluten could cause, not to mention all kinds of other gastrointestinal problems beyond diarrhea. So, once again, about 10% or less gluten is usually tolerated by most of those with celiac disease, you know, patients with celiac disease. And that intake usually doesn't cause degeneration in the small intestine, but it could. You know, again, different people respond to different amounts of gluten, more or less. Now, in the United States, the FDA proposed regulations way back in 2007, limiting the use of what's called a gluten-free labeling, in other words, quote-unquote gluten-free label in food products, to those with less than 20 parts per million of gluten. So food could have gluten in it, but they can still call it gluten-free. The International Codex Alimentarius standard allows for 20 parts per million of gluten in so-called, quote-unquote, gluten-free foods. Standards for gluten-free labels have been set up by the Codex Alimentarius. As I just mentioned, you can look that up for more information. However, all of these regulations do not apply to foods that in their normal or natural form, and I say that with quotations, do not contain gluten. Now, current research suggests that for persons with celiac disease, the maximum safe level of gluten in a finished food product is probably less than 0.02%, which is 200 parts per million, and possibly as little as 0.002%, or 20 parts per million. However, these numbers are essentially meaningless because any amount of gluten consumed can cause adverse reactions in any individual. So what exactly is happening in the small intestines, specifically in that area of the body? And again, you can have problems in the small intestine without having symptoms of problems in the small intestine. You can have problems anywhere in the body when there is damage to the small intestine. You know, we have the breakdown of the structure of the absorptive cells and the actual lining, the tissue that is the small intestine. And that's that leaky gut syndrome that everyone talks about. But they mistake, many people, that leaky gut is somehow a disease in itself. It never is. It's always caused by something else. It's just like candida. Candida is always caused by something else. You know, sadly, traditionally trained doctors, they're clearly intelligent people. They go through rigorous training, but they do not go through holistic mindedness training. To be holistically minded means that you see connections in different areas, not because we connect them in the body, but because they are one thing. Just to say that they're connected implies that we somehow put them together. My point here, without getting too deeply into semantics, is that the body simply is holistic. To treat it any other way than holistically is simply contrary to the natural design of or nature's design and of nature itself. Everything affects everything simply because it's all one thing. We do not change without changing the environment. Just breathing changes us and changes our environment. We breathe in oxygen and we breathe out carbon dioxide, essentially. That's just a simple example of the exchange in an interconnected ecosystem, which is us and the outside of us. And any distinction between us and the outside is artificial. And this goes back to medical training, because if this is how the world is viewed, then the body is looked at as different parts and different systems, and then therefore different medical specialties, and everyone sticks to their own sort of area, their artificial sort of zone, so to speak. And that's why in gluten intolerance or gluten allergy or celiac disease, they're different, so many different parts of the puzzle are missing. So, for example, someone could be depressed and have eczema and be tired and have an immune problem, all from gluten causing malabsorption of proteins. Proteins are required to make neurotransmitters, which you need for the brain. If you don't have them, you're depressed. Proteins are needed to repair tissues, and if tissues are in disrepair, the immune system sees that. The immune system sees these tissues as foreign and mounts an autoimmune reaction to them. The skin requires protein, and if it doesn't have it, then there's eczema. I think you get what I'm saying. But those are three different specialists in three different areas, and none of them talk. They just simply do not hang out at the same parties, if you know what I mean. So another question that I get is, how does one know if they're gluten intolerant and they don't have symptoms? So many of you are saying, well, maybe I'm gluten intolerant. I feel pretty good. I don't know. Well, first of all, you can test yourself. Not that testing is perfect, but it does tell us a lot. Or some of you are thinking, well, just remove gluten. Well, if you don't have symptoms and you remove it, you're likely still not to have symptoms. But, and listen carefully, if you have symptoms and you remove gluten for about 4 to 6 weeks, nearly entirely or absolutely 100%, you might have withdrawal symptoms, which then go away. And when you add the gluten back, you get worse. As I'll describe either at the end of this show or possibly the next show on gluten, that's called an elimination reintroduction protocol or diet. But it's true. Testing is often not accurate. I found many people that responded by eliminating gluten dramatically with autoimmune diseases, even when their blood testing did not show that they had any gluten problems whatsoever. You know, that just has to do with the design and specificity and accuracy of blood testing. Even endoscopy, the procedures that gastroenterologists use where they put you under, they stick a tube down your throat, they pop it through the stomach into the small intestine, a person could have gluten intolerance, but the small intestine lining can look absolutely 100% fine. First of all, unless they take biopsies of the small intestine, which they don't normally do, if it looks normal, they say, hey, it looks normal, so we're done here, and the patient's told they're crazy. But keep this in mind. Before a gastroenterologist can actually see damage to the small intestine that's characteristic of celiac disease, there's no damage that's visible. there's no damage that's visible, then finally there's enough damage that the sensitivity of our eyeballs can see it on the monitor that gets the picture from the little tiny camera at the end of that endoscopy instrument that's put down your throat into your small intestine. So, I mean, for example, one cannot see leaky gut by looking at the gut. That's something that's tested in another way using chemical tests. So very, very important. Although one could see indirect evidence of gluten intolerance, meaning someone could be fairly young with osteoporosis, which is just atypical for, let's say, a person of age 35 with chronic eczema and fatigue, and they're always cold all the time. Those are classic symptoms of malabsorption and malnutrition, which could be from gluten. That might lead someone like myself to eliminate gluten, do a trial of gluten elimination, and see what happens. So there's many, many symptoms. I think we'll have time for one more question. Why are we becoming more and more gluten intolerant? Now, essentially, human beings have not been around, very long, specifically not around very long eating wheat or the identical forms of gluten contained in wheat and related products. So our bodies simply don't know how to digest it properly. Our immune systems have just stressed out from it. In the 1950s, celiac disease, by the way, was found in 1 out of every 8,000 people. Today, celiac disease is found in 1 out of every 100 people. And I can tell you the numbers are way higher than that because that's just the most obvious diarrhea gluten intolerance. And we spoke before that there's a lot of other celiacs with other symptoms. So these statistics are way, way higher, and traditional scientists do not see it. Now, fundamentally, and I've learned this in my own clinical practice, that medicine misses many gluten intolerant people and celiac disease patients because of just lack of what's known as clinical suspicion, or they just may have poor clinical skills. For example, 50% of the time, as I said earlier, celiac disease patients and those with just gluten intolerance, they don't have gut symptoms at all. They can have any other sort of symptom. Again, migraines, eczema, psoriasis, multiple sclerosis, hypertension, hair loss, hypothyroid, dry skin, you name it. And you know, what's interesting from an evolutionary point of view, the ancient Romans harvested grains, but not wheat. Wheat has been a part of our agriculture and diet for only about 10,000 years. Humans have been evolving on Earth for approximately 2.5 million years. Thus, human beings have consumed gluten in the form of wheat during only 0.4% of the time during which we've evolved as a species. What I would say that is just the blink of an evolutionary eye in the scheme of things. Gluten in wheat is too new for our bodies to handle, and that's contributed to the prevalence of gluten intolerance, gluten allergy, and non-celiac gluten problems or enzyme problems related to gluten. So gluten is essentially a foreign substance to our immune and digestive systems, and it wreaks havoc for many people on the planet. So we will have about 2 more discussions on gluten. Keep those questions coming in. Send them to info@blooddetective.com or call my office at 914-242-8844 or visit my website at www.blooddetective.com or where I work as the Director of Longevity Medicine in Mount Kisco. That's about 50 minutes or so on the Metro North or by car ride. And that would be info@intmed.com. Or you can go to the website at www.intmedny.com. So this has been a pleasure. I'm the Blood Detective. You've been listening to Ask the Blood Detective. And I'll see you next Wednesday. Be safe and be healthy.